in five. That is what lovers do here on Beat 102 and 103. Well, some 40 best-selling and award-winning authors are bound for Waterford for the Imagine Arts Festival annual Waterford Writers Weekend. Among them is Paul Howard, the man behind Ross O'Carroll Kelly, and he's on the phone this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Paul. Not
Thanks
long
very
now.
Much.
Until you hit the sunny, well, not so sunny southeast.
Yeah, it's not so sunny today. I'm in Avoca, so I'm probably right on the border of the sunny southeast. But we do have our own microclimate down here, don't we?
So, what do you do when you're asked to appear at book festivals? Do you have a kind of a template of what you like to do?
Or? I do. Yeah, I generally appear as Ross. I mean, physically, I look nothing like Ross,
okay.
And I always have to apologize to audiences. Ever since I did a reading in a school in South Dublin once, and no one really knew what I looked like. And when I stepped out on the stage to do the interview, I heard somebody in the front row say, "I thought he might have at least been good looking."
Oh, no.
So I always apologize for the way I look at the beginning of the evening. But generally, I do a series of readings, maybe four or five readings from books or columns. Sometimes there might be pieces that, you know, people have particularly liked in the books and want to hear read aloud. I do it in character. So while I don't look like Ross, I do it in the voice of Ross, which is a particular South Dublin phonetic.
Which is travelled, because obviously you're in the southeast talking about a very particular Dublin accent. But I think we all know that accent, and I think it has travelled as well.
It definitely has.
To other counties.
It has seeped into other parts of the country. Mm. I know in Cork there's a Cork 4 as well as there's a Dublin 4, and there's a Belfast 4 in Belfast as well. So I'm not sure if there's a Waterford 4. I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there is.
But yeah, that accent, I associate it with, it used to be called the Dart accent or the Dort accent, and it used to be associated with a particular sort of postcode in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's a kind of universal accent because it's a mix of that sort of how now brown cow way that kids are taught to speak in school. And then there's a bit of American thrown in there as well.
Yeah, there really is. There's a bit of a kind of an influence of The Simpsons going in there as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, shows like, The OC and these sort of teen shows from around 2000 to 2005 at the time the Celtic Tiger was taking off resulted in this Celtic Tiger accent, which, like I said, I think it's everywhere. You know, when I go to Cork sometimes and I talk to teenagers, people in their early 20s, the Cork accent is actually being sort of diluted slightly by this sort of generic, homogenous, mid-Atlantic way of speaking.
Which is sad, too, to think that that is happening.
Well, we have some beautiful accents in Ireland, you know, some really, really lyric accents. I love the inner city Dublin accent. I love the Cork accent.
The Wexford accent.
My grandmother was from Wexford, so I particularly love the Wexford accent.
I have to say, I really love the sing-songiness of the Wexford town accent. There's something so lyrical about it.
Yeah, and it would be a shame to lose those things. But I think with, you know, popular culture, with the, you know, and how quick trends are to, you know, to catch on now, especially language and the way we speak, I think it's inevitable that those things will eventually be lost, which will be a huge shame.
Definitely.
If everybody ended up talking like Ross O'Carroll Kelly, I think it would be much to the detriment of the country.
And it's crazy to think that there are 17 Ross O'Carroll Kelly books now that, you know, the latest one came out, which is Operation Trump's Formation. I have to say, I love your titles.
Oh, thank you.
Do you come up with the titles?
I do, yeah. Well, my wife comes up with quite a few of them as well.
Do you know what my favourite one is? My favourite one is The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nightdress. I don't know why I love it. It's the simplicity of it.
Yeah. So I always try to come up with a title that reflects topical issues,
like,
and then also
Dad
something,
and
then something stolen from popular culture, like a book title or a film title or something like that. And The Curious Incident was one of those ones that got me into a sort of slight embarrassing situation in a shop somebody, it's obviously based on The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night Time rather than the night dress. And I was sitting in the shop signing copies of the book, and a woman came up to me and said, "I absolutely love this book." And I said, "Oh, thank you very much." She said, "I've actually read it twice." And I'm just pleased if anybody reads my books once, never mind twice. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, yeah, there's so much. My kids have read it. And I said, how old are your kids? She said, they're six. And I said, God, they're very young to be reading this kind of stuff. No, no, I want them to know all about this stuff. And so she said, I have to ask you a question. And I said, yeah, but what is it? She said, how do you know so much about Asperger syndrome? And I realized she thought I was talking to Mark Haddon. And it was quite embarrassing. But I didn't want to embarrass her. And I was kind of quite enjoying the praise. Mm-hmm. So I just... I just told her, I go on the internet and research all my books.
Like everything. Wikipedia is my best friend. So did you sign the Mark Haddon book for her and send her on her way?
I did, yeah.
Very good. I'm delighted to hear that. You've written other pieces of fiction. You've also written a biography of Tara Brown, the Guinness heiress, who's the lucky man who made the grade in the in the Beatles song. I remember Googling that when I was like younger and just being so amazed by that story as well, and that it featured in the Beatles song. Do you have a preference of, well, how you write? Like, do you write very differently when you're writing nonfiction, or is your day spaced out differently?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly a lot slower when you write nonfiction. Mm. My training was as a journalist, so that particular book, I think I enjoyed it more than anything I've done in my career, I think.
You can really get lost in that research.
Yeah, yeah, and I spent 10 years on it, and it was very slow. Where a Ross book tends to take me between 4 and 6 months to write, and this book, I'm quite fortunate in that the Ross books have been very successful, and it's actually given me a bit of freedom to kind of indulge other projects and indulge my interest in other areas. And Tara Brown was one particular area. I've loved the song since I was a kid. Mm. And that opening scene that John Lennon paints, I read the news today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade and then blew his mind out in a car. He paints the scene of this car crash and this man dead at the wheel of a car. Mm-hmm. And when I was about 15 or 16, I found out that it was biographical. It was a true story, and it was based on the death of an Irish man, a Guinness heir called Tara Brown, who died at the wheel of a car.
Very young,
the West End. Yeah, he was only 21. Mm. So I was fascinated with his life, and I kind of read lots of stuff about him on the internet over the years, a lot of which turned out to be untrue. There's so many myths surrounding him, and then a lot of those kind of icons of the 60s, you know, a lot of myth builds up around them. So I went and met his brother, and I met Paul McCartney's brother, Mike, who was really close to him in the 60s. And
oh, okay. Oh, so the Beatles actually knew Tara.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Tara introduced Paul McCartney to LSD.
Oh, okay.
Whether you think that was a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. But Tara was just one of those incredibly precocious people, and that was from the time he was a child, who was just always on the beat of the moment. You know, he knew everyone. He was friends with the Rolling Stones. He was friends with the Beatles. He had the Loving Spoonful play his 21st birthday party in Lugalaw in Wicklow. And as it turned out, that was his last birthday party. But he led this extraordinary life, and I just really enjoyed those 10 years I spent.
Wow, 10 years.
Just meeting absolutely everybody he was friends with. I think I interviewed over 120 people.
And when you appear at something like the Waterford Writers Weekend, are you asked about books like that and the trigger book for the Roy Keane biography and stuff like that?
Yeah, I generally do a reading in the voice of Ross, and then I do a bit of chat in between. So I take questions from the floor, and questions can be anything from what are you wearing to, you know, tell me about your other books, or, you know, people might ask me about Tara Brown or the book about Roy Keane's dog, or you know, the Ross O'Carroll Kelly plays. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. So I'm completely open to questions. So if anyone wants to come along and ask me anything, I'm happy to answer.
Brilliant. Well, you will be at the Medieval Museum Garden Room, which was such a lovely venue, at 9:30 on the Friday of the Waterford Writers Weekend. You can get more details at imaginearts.com. Paul, thanks a million for joining us this morning, and enjoy your weekend in Waterford.
Thanks very much.